It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me is a true renaissance man. He is an author. He is an athlete. He is a scholar. He is an advocate. He is an entrepreneur. He is Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is also a swell dancer, a neat dresser as well, a doting grandfather, a loving husband, and a fantastic father, a baseball awards presenter, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, and the longest-running host with curly hair on the Pulse of New Hampshire. He is the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It is Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Great, Jay. Thank you so much. I'm taking you everywhere I go. I mean,
I
the world
it.
Has opened out. I'm almost out every night now.
Yep.
For the rubber chicken circuit and then breakfast meetings and now even weekends. But
Fisher Cats, yep.
But what's really good, though, is I can sometimes listen to the pulse when I'm on my way to these events. So I practice what I preach. So, and one of, so you mentioned running. So on April 29th and April 30th, we had a national event at Mount Sunapee where the national mountain team was selected. And it was just amazing, Jay, the double black diamond trails that I skied down for these superb athletes running up. It was just amazing. It was just amazing too that little New Hampshire is the host of these national meetings. So that's what's great about running is everybody can do it. And then in terms of advocacy, recently I was at the Women's Foundation Gala on a Saturday evening, and there was some terrifically accomplished women, including Representative Custer, who got the overall recognition, and Jerry Ann Bogus got a recognition as well. It's quite a night, Saturday night, which is my segue into another amazing woman, Jackie Cowell, who is the president of Early Learning New Hampshire. I think I promoted you. I think your official title is executive director.
Yes, sir.
But maybe when we do your performance review, we'll change that to El Presidente. How's that?
I love it.
You like that? That's
yeah.
Good. So, anyway, there were so many people sat there Saturday night for the Wounds Foundation. I'm not sure if I missed you or not, but it was quite a day for what we're trying to accomplish overall in terms of, you know, equal rights and just moving the needle forward. And part of that, of course, is if we don't take care of people from 0 to 4 in a quality way, it inhibits other professional growth.
Right.
So so thank you for your work. Now, you know, in the spirit of transparency, the audience doesn't know that I probably could answer all of these questions myself.
I know it. Yeah.
Because you have trained me well, and I'm the CEO that you bring around to many, many events. And of course, I'm very happy to do it. But early learning, just so everybody knows, the 0 to 4 years, I will just start with this overarching statement and then we'll get into your career. So how a human being is treated really pre-birth, but let's just say 0 to 4, is the greatest predictor of how successful they will be as an adult. And of course, when I was chair of the State Board of Education, one of our goals was to, I was appointed by Governor Lynch, and one of the goals was to literally eliminate the high school dropout rate. And of course, when we looked at all the numbers, the best correlation was preschool, you know, and the 0 to 4 years, how that child was treated. You never give up on kids. There's a lot you can do, you know, when they're in grade school and middle school and high school. But boy, if you can take care of the early years. And then as we kind of meander about in this conversation, then it's becoming apparent that particularly with the workforce challenge that, you know, some people can't get back to work. I know we have this shortage with dental hygienists because
right.
If they don't have quality early learning centers for their children, unlike some positions, you can't clean teeth virtually, so they can't go back to the office. And every sector of the economy is faced with this. So we have this new terminology, the workforce for the workforce, which is the daycare, early learning industry supporting the whole workforce. So it's
yes.
Really cool. So people are starting to get that. So we'll circle back to that. But tell us about your career. I know you were the leader of a daycare center.
Yeah.
I know when we were putting this all together, there used to be four or five disparate organizations, and Stephanie Shaheen and I kind of put it all together with a lot of help from other people.
Yeah.
But we ended up with one advocacy group. It reminded me a little bit of the Women's Foundation, which also had, you know, two or three different organizations. But tell us about your specific background and how you ended up, why we selected you as the executive director of Early Learning New Hampshire.
Well, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me. And you know, my background's a little unusual into the early childhood field. I started off after graduating from college. I went to the University of Virginia, and then I went right into the Peace Corps. And you know how, and I actually, my job was, I was a high school math teacher. And so I taught in French. That was their official language. And, you know, the Peace Corps actually has a tagline called "the toughest job you'll ever love." Well, it really was tough doing that, but it wasn't the toughest one I ever loved. Then I actually, my husband and I joined Save the Children in Sudan. You might remember that in the Horn of Africa in the mid-80s, there was a severe drought. And so after the Peace Corps, we went over to Sudan, where they were experiencing.
It seems like they need you again.
I know. It's pretty heartbreaking watching that. They're great people over there. Holy cow. And so what we did was we ran an emergency feeding program. But we were there for 5 years doing, and it was, that clearly was the toughest job. They, where we worked in this district, there was, it was all mainly sand and it had no paved roads, but luckily we had really experienced drivers. And so that was the toughest job I ever loved, but it wasn't the toughest job, Tom, that I've ever had. And it's not the job I have now. I probably shouldn't say that to you, but as being on our board, but the toughest job I ever had was running a childcare program in New Hampshire. And the reason for that was because the other jobs gave you enough money to do it right. They figured out what it would take to do it. They gave you enough. In childcare, so I ran White Birch Community Center in Henniker. Then I went over to Portsmouth and did the what's now called the Seacoast Community School. At the time, it was the Community Childcare Center. And what's really tough about doing it is you watch these children thrive. And they're just doing so well. And like you talked about, those earliest years, you know, and the parents can't afford it. And it's so hard when the parents have to leave and the child has to leave. It's heartbreaking. Same heartbreak when you see a terrific teacher doing an amazing job who can't afford to stay either. She's got to go to the public school, or she even goes to Target, frankly, to make more money. And it was really hard. And so those are the two things that made it the hardest, watching great teachers leave who wanted to stay, who were great at their job, and watching children have to leave because their parents could afford it. So we're really working hard. That was one of the reasons I joined Early Learning New Hampshire, because their focus was on trying to change that.
Now, recognizing that's still a challenge, because candidly, it's the same challenge for all workforces, as I described. But we have made a lot of progress over the years. You know, I know you, me, and Stephanie, when we get together with the early learning experts, well, certainly we do understand the economic realities of teachers not getting paid enough, et cetera. But we have made a lot of progress. You've tried to be as creative as you can. Tell us about this. And again, Jackie mentioned it, but I'm on the board of Early Learning New Hampshire. I formerly was the chair, Scott Spradling, who is a terrific singer, by the way, went to one of his concerts. So he has many talents, including being on the Early Learning New Hampshire board.
He's great.
When we meet with early learning experts, we do kind of take them back and say, you know, we have progressed. And so one of the things you've done is this, this shared services model that I think you should really describe, because we might have some early learning centers that are listening to it. And it's a terrific model. But go ahead. Why don't you describe it?
Yeah. So this was something that we learned a couple of years back, that if you basically, because so many of the childcare programs are standalone small programs, they all have a director, they all have an owner, but they're all, you know, they're large and small. And if you think of sort of like an SAU, an SAU has a business office, or they have, you know, lots of independent schools, but then there's sort of an overarching way for them to come together. So we had heard about this in other states, that childcare programs, while remaining independent, could share expertise, could share their buying power, could do a lot of sharing to really bring down their costs in order to then reinvest those savings into quality efforts they're doing, perhaps paying their teachers more or lowering the costs for the families. And so it's called CELA. It stands for State Early Learning Alliance. It's one of our favorite initiatives we do. Started off in the Seacoast as a pilot many, many years ago, and it's beautifully built. And so it does offer, we have business partners. So Howard Brodsky down in Manchester, his CCA Global Partners, turned their attention, all the buying power. They actually collectively did the buying power of over a million businesses come together. And so it really just reduces costs even on things you normally buy, like school supplies and insurances. It's really terrific. It really helps them out.
It's amazing. It's based on Howard's model from CCA Global Partners. So we'll get back into that after the break. The website, by the way, a terrific website, is all one word, earlylearningnh.org. Jay, back to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tom. And the talk of school supplies and the like is still needed in times of today, especially now with teacher shortages and the like, Jackie. And having that pilot program is so beneficial, and even back then, as opposed to now. There's always challenges for teachers and the like. And there's always challenges for students and school supplies. It always seems to be the sticking point right there when it comes to that. So
that's right.
Congrats to the team having that pilot program and continuing to have that move forward. We have Jackie Cowell. She is the executive director of Early Learning NH. The website, as Tom mentioned, is earlylearningnh.org. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and continue the discussion here on Northeast Delta Dental Radio, right here on The Pulse of New Hampshire. It's The Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm Jay Dogg, alongside the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. It's Tom Raffio. This week's guest is Jackie Cowell, the executive director for Early Learning NH, and they're having a discussion about not just pilot programs, but also in general what the early learning development and everything in the state of New Hampshire can do for the, as Tom mentioned, the 0 to 4, or, you know, for the ages of 0 to 4, and how they can move forward and get an education and continue to learn in times like these. So I will have you both take it away from here on out.
Thanks, Jay. And before we get back into the topic at hand, I want to give a big shout out to another amazing woman leader, Diane Foley, who's the founder and president of the James Foley Legacy Foundation. She was my guest last week, and really, she's done so many mitzvahs, so many good deeds for society, because still, in today's world, it is still very dangerous for a reporter to go overseas, not just in countries that you hear about, but in other countries. And Diane has taken a very tragic situation, you know, the death of her son, and has turned it into a real educational movement. So thank you, Diane, for last week's show. But back to Jackie now. So the overarching point that if we take care of the 0 to 4 years, it's going to be better for society, better for other industries. And this shared services model, or CELA, based on the CCA Global model, Jay kind of described it as a pilot. But what one great piece of news, I think we've now, for years, we, you know, the daycare centers and early learning centers that used it had great savings, great stories to tell, but sometimes it was hard for other centers to use it, because the person leading the early learning center was so busy fighting fire that she couldn't take the, you know, the half hour it took to kind of learn this. Yeah. So you seem now to overcome that, and now I think it's a fully robust program. So what was the secret to migrating from, I know I could get, you know, fuel at a less expensive, I know I could get a human resources manual without doing it, so, but I don't have the time to do it. So how have you counteracted that? How have you overcome that?
I think two main things, but let me back up first and make sure to also point out our other business partner, which is really key here, is Great North Property Management. And so they also bring their clout and their experience to the table so that if someone's looking for a plumber or someone's looking for some construction worker, if someone's actually, they're the ones who negotiate our insurance or commercial liability insurance discounts, because they have all the clout and the buying power. So they've also turned their attention in helping childcare. But the two things, I think, Tom, that have made a big difference, we built Sela and it really was wonderful, but you're right. People just were too busy and didn't have time to even try it, is that now people are more used to being online. After the pandemic, people are born, they're on Zoom and they're having conversations. So the ability to actually talk with somebody by Zoom and not have to make an appointment and go, and then they're not available when you get there because, right, they're in a classroom. So this, so you can reschedule. So people, you can do it much more on their time, whether you're talking with them. But honestly, because of a lot of great support of a lot of funders, including Northeast Delta Dental, Charitable Foundation, Endowment for Health, I should name them all. There's a lot of really grant the United Ways, that what they've done is allowed us to have a bigger team. So we take it off their plate. Rather than teaching them how to get an insurance quote, we ask them, do you want us to get an insurance quote? And we get it for them. So we're acting differently. We're taking it off their plate. And then they start using it and it becomes habit. So we're really working with them, knowing they don't have an extra second in their day.
So if I'm a busy early learning center director and I'm listening to this show and I said, oh my God, I never heard of this Sela program, right? Or I did, but now I'm really intrigued by it. What should they do like today?
Today, they can register right away because of these funders, it's free. The access is free for most of the services. And so I'll tell you the website. The one they can go to ours too, but the easiest one is to register directly. I'll say it and then I'll spell it. SelaNHmembers.com. SelaNHmembers.com. And you can register right away and we'll let you right in.
Exactly. And so, and as you mentioned, the Early Learning New Hampshire website itself is terrific. And that website is earlylearningnh.org. Now, I'm a biased sample because I've been following the Federal Reserve studies from Minnesota. So for 25 years, we've really known the science behind taking care of human beings between 0 and 4 and how that projects forward. It seems like now it's gathered some new clout. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the pandemic probably gained 10 years on what would have been really good, strong advocacy to have the general public understand the value of childcare. And I'll just call it childcare, And so, so people really understood the essential nature of it, that it is, like you said, the workforce behind the workforce, that all industries have been hit and hurt by the pandemic. No different is childcare. What is different is that it employs the people, but that lets other industries go to work. And it actually does two things. It both supports today's workforce. And as you know well, as you've just said, it really helps prepare the workforce of tomorrow.
And for my CEO colleagues out there, anybody listening to me, it seems like, oh my God, 0 to 4. But for one thing, as we get older, we know this, you go from age 4 to college overnight. And so these are the people that we're going to be hiring before you know it. And second of all, if your employees are distracted at work because they're worried, they've left the kid at home, or they've, or grandma's not available, or grandpa's not available, it's a distraction. So people are starting to understand that. So towards that end, in addition to these creative things you've done like Sealer, Senate Bill 237 was introduced, the Child Care for New Hampshire Working Families Act. So what is that exact status and what do you think its intention is?
Yeah, so SB 237 is now being folded into the state Senate budget process. So this is a state budget year. It happens every 2 years because it has a fiscal note. I'll explain that in a second. It's now part of the state budget deliberations, which are happening right now. So rather than being a bill number, it's right in the Senate Finance. It does two really big important things. One, it helps the affordability for the families, and it helps retain and recruit staff. Those two things I talked about when I was back in doing childcare were the hardest things. So what it's doing, it's going to cost about $14 million a year, and there's different funding streams they're finding, and they're, again, bipartisan support for this, is looking at helping more families get what they call childcare scholarship or subsidy. It used to be, let's just say a family of three earning about $55,000 a year, whether it's one parent and two kids or two parents and a baby, et cetera, household of three would qualify. But still, the people right over the edge, the lower middle income folks, absolutely couldn't afford childcare. If you've got two kids, Tom, you probably know this, you'd be spending 50% of your take-home pay on childcare. It could be more than their mortgage every year, every month. So this really helps get state and federal money so that the families can better afford it. And more families will qualify, more families will, it'll just be better support for them. And then this staff retention.
It gives everybody a peace of mind. I mean, what Jackie's alluding to, I have a live-in four-year-old granddaughter, and occasionally I drop her off if Ellen's not available, and nothing brings a smile to my face to dropping her off and seeing, like, you know, three teachers and just right. 10 kids. I mean, it's just
lovely. Isn't it wonderful? It's that what you talked about, that foundation. It's like a house. You know, if you start off with a shaky or a sturdy foundation, it supports all the learning and behavior and health that follows. Yeah.
You got it. So I want to hit the final two questions in the 2 minutes we have left. So I always get this question, your funding, you'd mentioned, you know, Delta Dental and other people give you, organizations give you grants. Do you have state and other federal funding, or how does that all work?
Yeah, we have in the past when we've been doing some public-private partnerships. We used to run Spark New Hampshire, you know, the governor's first early childhood advisory council. It's now morphed into the Council for Thriving Children, which is part of the executive branch now. And then, but we've also applied, for some funding because of the ARPA federal funds out there. So most of our funding is private funding. We do sometimes get state and federal, depending on what's happening. So we're really looking to help the field, the childcare programs really strengthen with our partner, the Community Loan Fund and others, Small Business Development Center.
And corporate donations are welcome. It's an advocacy group. There's no one that has more credibility in this field, you know, than Jackie. So in terms of your top 3 to 4 goals that you'd like to achieve in 2023, besides obviously getting Senate Bill 237 passed, having SEAL or flourish, improving the staffing of daycare centers, and my personal favorite, getting other CEOs that are willing to accompany you.
There are.
Good. Well, thank you, Jackie. I mean, really, there can be no more important work than respecting and making sure that the early learning industry is thriving, because when they thrive, two things happen. Other industries can thrive because they're more workers. And two, the young toddlers who are at these daycare centers, they're the future.
Yes.
And the science is all there. So keep up the great work. Of course, I see you all the time, but thank you. I know you're working hard at it.
Thank you, Tom.
Jay.
Jackie Cowell, that's this week's guest, executive director of Early Learning New Hampshire, NH Early Learning, NH.org. You can find them on Twitter as well as Facebook at Early Learning NH. That's both of them. So for social media, and a YouTube channel as well for Early Learning NH. Just go to the website, earlylearningnh.org. And thank you, Jackie. We'll be back with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio for Tom Raffio, as well as Jackie Cowell. I am J-Dog. We'll be back next time with an all-new edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire.